Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That felt very Oprah. Walking and talking. That's not what we're meant to do. I'm meant to be standing here already. Welcome to Middle Church. I'm Jackie Lewis. And if this is your first time here, will you raise your hand? Way! Shout out where you're from.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn in the house.
Brooklyn.
Okay. How many people from Brooklyn in the house? I see what y'all doing. Well, I'm so glad you're here. If you are here with us for the first time online, welcome. We're glad you're here as well. It is the first Sunday in Advent. And it is a time when we think about hope. The Advent cycle kind of starts with darkness and moves into light. So today, we are talking about reclaiming hope. And I'm glad that you're here to do that with us. I'm going to invite my colleague Devin to come up real quick and say a couple things about year end at Middle Church.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone online. Here we are, December of 2023. We are in our campaign to rebuild, as you know, and so ending the year strong is a huge goal. We've done amazing work this year to build safe spaces for people to be seen and held in the transition of everything. So be on the lookout in this next couple weeks. You'll be getting a letter in the mail for our end of year appeal. We're doing great. The campaign is going really well. We do have a goal by the end of December to hit another $250,000 to meet our goal yet this year. And so you'll be seeing words about that in the mail, words about that in email. Now's the time to give and get your tax break. So think about that, and I'm here if anybody wants to chat afterwards. Thanks so much.
We have wonderful programming designed for the season of Advent, including a Bible study each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It's on Zoom, so you can Zoom and come and listen to the text that's being discussed that day, and then get in the car or get on the subway and come to church, or you can stay in your pajamas and keep worshiping with us. We'd love for you to do that. So again, our Advent theme for today is about reclaiming hope. And as we do that in a time that is absolutely fraught with difficulty, let's take a deep breath together. And think of God's goodness. As our choir helps us to sing our opening hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Come on, giant, amazing choir, and help us sing. Oh, well, the choir can come and the candlelighters will come and I will look at my bulletin for the rest of worship.
Good morning, Middle Family.
Good morning. Woo!
It is our joyous pleasure to see all of you and to be in community. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, when we light the candle of hope.
What does it mean to hope? Bishop Tutu said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite of all the darkness.
Aristotle described hope as a waking dream.
We hope for a shard of light to scatter suffering off of the earth and shine our way to heal the world.
Amen. Amen. morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As the choir makes their way, we are going to continue worshiping now with the prayers of the people, a time where we can come together and pray. Get comfortable where you are, close your eyes, keep them open, pray in a posture that's comfortable for you. Holy and loving God, here we are, the first Sunday of Advent. It almost feels like a pressure to be hopeful. If we don't have enough, if it isn't the right kind of hope, maybe this religion thing isn't for us. But in this community of seekers and triers, remind us that finding it hard to have hope is what it means to be human. Remind us that the things that break our hearts anchor us in hope. Our ability to see injustice insists on hope. Our spirits are not always settled, so we keep pushing. We know we aren't what we might be. We know the world is not what it can be. And so we cling to hope. Things like ongoing war all over our global community, food and housing insecurity, new New Yorkers sleeping on the street right here in the East Village because they are forced to reapply for a place to live. Crushing medical or school debt, painful relationships, violent words, shallow mindsets that dehumanize and disembody. Prince of Peace, Champion of Justice, write on us that hope is a discipline, as Miriam Kaba teaches. Remind us that we don't have to incubate all the hope. We can find it in each other, in music, art, therapy, a new friend, a birth, a memorial, in you. Today we say a special prayer for a new partnership with Middle and East End Temple and Brotherhood Synagogue and our local school children's workshop. We pray for the families and volunteers who will break bread together tonight, families who are seeking asylum, our new neighbors, hold their trauma, housing, health, and employment anxieties, hold who we will become as we embark on fellowship and community. May the promise of the tiny baby be enough hope, even if just for today. Let's continue in prayer now and pray together the Lord's Prayer as printed in your bulletin. Pray it in whatever way or language you would like. Stand as you are able. If you and your neighbor are comfortable, feel free to reach out and touch. And let's pray together. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. But deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign and the power and the glory forever. Amen. in a world that so desperately needs peace, it is a gift, and it is our job to be that peace and to reflect that peace to one another. So we'll use this time now to see the peace and the possibility in each other as we say, may the peace of God be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
John Del Cueto. John Del Cueto. My mama would say, and that's that on that. Good grief, that was the most stunning arrangement. Choir, you sang the heaven into that. And Noel, you better stop. And the band, I mean, that was, we should just go home now. That was amazing. And thank you. Thank you. While we're in a little bit of reverence, whose birthday is in December? Okay, let's get that birthday song sung since we Happy birthday, y'all. Okay, just splendidness. Today's word of scripture comes from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 40, which is what most of us think of as second Isaiah, being kind of a second prophet writing in the book of Isaiah. And you know this text. You've heard this text so many different times at this time of year in our life of faith. But I'm going to read it today. Again, it's God's people are comforted. It's in Handel's Messiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, with a little water. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and God's arm rules for God. God's reward is with God, and God's recompense before the Lord. God will feed the flock like a shepherd. God will gather the lambs in their arms and carry them in her bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Say a prayer with me, please. God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we seek to hear a word from you, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's important today, as I stand here reading a text from the Hebrew scripture, to remind us that we read this Hebrew scripture in a synagogue. We read this Hebrew scripture with the sacred scrolls behind me in this beautiful protected door. We read this Hebrew scripture on the bima, not the pulpit. We read Jesus' text that's not about Jesus. That's a Hebrew scripture about a Hebrew story. We read this text in the midst of war. War in the Holy Land. War between Israel and Hamas. We read this Hebrew scripture about war, about post-war, in a time of war. Are you with me? So I have to say, before I say anything else, the people who worship in this synagogue are Jewish people who are in trauma. Our colleagues are traumatized. They have for millennia been the people who are people who are warred against. This particular text takes place after Babylon has defeated the North and South Kingdom, after they've kidnapped the best and the brightest of the Jewish people and sent them out to a strange land, after the people of Israel tried to figure out how they could worship away from home without a temple. How could they sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? This text is written after Cyrus the king has decided that the people can go back home. But the war that cost them their brightest and best is still in the rearview mirror. And I know there's no mirrors in those days, but it's in their recent memory. It is a context, it's causative. This news comes to them saying, you know, comfort, comfort, oh my people, as they are still generationally traumatized and wounded by all that's happened. Comfort, comfort, oh my people, says our God, the second Isaiah prophet, trying to say something meaningful to the people who are still trying to figure out if God loves them. You've paid your dues, it says. In fact, you paid twice as much as you needed to pay. And I'm a person who struggles with theologies of having to pay dues, just to be frank. But this is the understanding of this worldview, right? That they were chosen by God, called by God, elected by God, loved by God, and that they betrayed God. That somewhere along the way, they didn't get it right. And the answer to the question was, God's going to get our attention by letting people destroy us. I want you to hear that text in the context of today's text. Are our Jewish colleagues wondering if they did something to deserve the war? Ponder that with me. Or in modern interpretation, they understand they've outgrown that kind of theology, but still, it's here for all of us. A sense of our covenant with God is about doing the right thing, the good thing, the better thing, and when we do, there'll be a reward, and when we don't, there'll be a punishment. We haven't fully outgrown that, theologically. And even when we have, even when we're sophisticated enough to know that God, the God we love, isn't willy-nilly enough to cause us pain, to teach us lessons, the shadow of that still lurks. It's in the room, it's in the news, it's in the atmosphere, yeah? So, was that Larkin? Yeah. Next, she's going to say, wow. So here's this word of comfort. Comfort, oh my people, you've done your thing, you've paid your dues, you've been sent back home, you are liberated once again, and that should give them hope, except I wonder. The word comfort here is nechama. Can you say that with me? Nechama. It comes from two words. One is comfortable and resting, noach. And the other is kama, which is warm. So this word comfort is about a warm, comfortable embrace, I think, on first pass. Except it's not. The word actually means more, change your mind. What? Comfort, comfort, oh my people. Change your mind, oh my people. From what to what? Why? I hate exegesis sometimes. That is not what I was trying to talk about. But it actually means change your mind, as in when God is so upset with the humans that God decides to have a rainstorm to kill humanity and start all the way over, and then God goes, actually, that's not very godlike, and changes their mind. Change your mind like these horrible, terrible, trying circumstances, in hindsight, your mind will know that all of these things caused you to get to be you today, where you are, being on the planet like this, and therefore, there's something even good in the struggle, in the suffering. Oof, in the exile. In the exile, Isaiah is saying, there was something good. If you change your mind about it, you'll be comforted to know that the suffering don't last always. And that the God who loves you will use, not cause, use, not cause, use the circumstances to etch on your soul the thing that your soul needs so you can flourish. I don't like that much. I really don't. I don't like thinking that the troubles of this present time have something in them that will be redemptive. I don't like that. I fell to the class called redemptive suffering in seminary. But the text is claiming something for those people about how to look back over the time when they thought God was hidden, when they thought God was missing, when they thought God was absent from their circumstance. The text is saying, if you change your mind about how you experienced me, you'll find out I was there. Now, I kind of like that because I actually can't work for a God who absents herself from our suffering. But I can get down with a God who's there with me when I hurt, who's with me when I'm unsure, who's with me when I'm sick, who's with me when I'm broke, who's with me when I feel assaulted in the media, who's with me when my people are missing in action. I can get down with a God whose presence does not depend on sunshine, but whose presence is in every dark cloud, in every fire, in all of the brokenness, underneath the rubble, inside the stuff that hurts. There's a God who loves us and knows enough about what it's like to be human to commiserate with us, to support us, to foster our own strength and resilience by sometimes going, I got you, but I think you need to figure this out. Comfort, comfort. Oh, my people, change your mind, oh, my people. Reset your understanding, oh, my people. Change your expectations. Level set your hope. To not be contingent on rosy outcomes, but rather to be contingent on the very real experience of you and your ancestors that I don't go anywhere. I'm liking that a little better. But what's that got to do with hope? The word hope in the Hebrew is the same word for the word rope. Tether. Connection. The word for hope is tikva, and it means binding together in ways that you don't let go. Hope is a rope, a binding, a something to hang on to, something that you can't let go of, because on the other side of the rope, the bind, is God's power and presence to liberate us and heal us and keep us. The one who's also having their mind changed is God. Process theology, right, Amanda? That there is something changeable, mutable, elastic, and dynamic about the God who holds the other end of the rope so we can hang on and be ourselves transformed and changed into the very likeness of the one who created us. I need that word. It's just, how can I say this theologically? It just sucks. A hot flipping mess, right? So much pain and heartache, you can't hardly talk to your friends without having a fight. And in every context in which we as progressive peoples are trying to do the thing, we're now policing each other about the thing. Did you say the thing or the thang? Did you say thing or thang? Because when I heard you say thing, I thought you were on the same page. But when you said thing, I started thinking, oh, hell to the no. That is not what I mean. Oh, you said thing. Oh, okay. But I heard you say thing. Litmus testing each other. You're not progressive enough. There's no room for you. Ah, come on with me. Right? Can't we laugh at it? That's so terrible. It has to cause us some laughter. And also, this God, who, according to the text, had a temper tantrum and destroyed the world because the humans were not cute. And then decided that that's not the way to be God after all. Ooh, we who are created in the image of God get to have, hallelujah, the same opportunity to fix our crap. Amen? That I am a broken vessel, cracked pot, imperfect specimen of kind of fierce lovishness who makes a mistake every day. I have hope that I can get to be better because God got better. Amen. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. We get to fall down and get back up. We get to transgress and say thing, not thing, and start again tomorrow. We get to piss each other off and ask for forgiveness and fresh starts. We get to break promises and have another chance. That's what hope is. We hang on, tethered to the one who is perfect, but is also becoming more perfect all the time. That's our God. That's our God in whose likeness we are created. This is my Advent hope, my prayer for you, that we understand we are but clay. Just crackpots, every one of us. But in every crack, light can shine. And we can be used in our imperfection to transform the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say we can hope in that. Somebody say, that's a sermon I can do. Somebody say, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, in the midst of the pain. God's not going to let us go. And we don't have to let each other go. And we can keep on becoming salt and light in the world. Amen. Amen. I'm so proud that I remembered that we do communion now, as opposed to I was getting ready to sit down. Amanda. That's gonna stay. Ish, yeah. We'll move this. Okay. Go ahead, love.
Friends, what is communion except a reminder of bread made and broken in haste, of wandering in the wilderness, thirsting for justice, for a place to call home?
What is communion except a reminder of a cup filled with life, blessings, and a renewed covenant? I will be your God, and you will be my people.
What is this moment, this communing? A living hope, a fervent expectation that every plate will be filled with the bread of life, every cup filled with living water.
That all the people will thrive, belong, have a land to call home, and be free from violence and harm. All the children cherished and safe. All the people living in peace together.
This, that, is the bread of life.
This is the cup of salvation. And we must remember that we are not saved until everyone is saved, till everyone has enough.
Take and eat, remember and hope.
When we break this bread, when we share this cup, when we look back at a particular time and space, and we look forward to the timeless time when all is well. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
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 So my name is Adrian Hurd, and this is my husband,
Luton Tanner.
And we're going to do the invitation to the movement. I wanted to tell you, we've been coming to Middle for 20 years.
20 plus years. Yes.
And how we came here. I was pregnant with my oldest son, Lucien, walking down the street in the East Village, and literally had a you know, when you get that warm thing in your heart, and you're like, I need to go to church. Mm-hmm. Never, I just did, and I, it just happened to be in September, and it was the homecoming. There was a big to-do, and I was like, I'm going to go to that big to-do place. Grabbed my mom, and we went, and I was blown away. I mean, I'm a born and raised New Yorker, and so I was very skeptical of all the love going on there. I didn't know what they wanted from me. But I could feel the general, that I felt home. And I came home and I said to Lute,
we're going to church. I'm not really, that's not me. It wasn't. I was raised Unitarian Universalist, if anything. But I was like, this is my wife, make things happy, try anything once. Let's go see what's happening.
And that next Sunday, it was filled with dance. We're dancers.
Yes. And to see the dance that was from a concert dancer, it was genuine. It wasn't, you know, liturgical, sort of little lighty, flighty. No, this had meaning, this had purpose, this had artistry that was given the ability to express their artistry in the way that they came to the church.
And what it said to me was that the overriding that we value you, we value your gifts, we value dancers, we value art, and to be seen and to have a home. So our boys, we always say that Middle raised our kids.
Yep. They say it takes a village, and Middle was that village. And continues to be that village. The thing that made me come back again and again is that I left with joy in my heart after each service. I left with a sense of community and, the amount of theater, the amount of dance, the amount of music, wow. The diversity of music that is at Middle, that fills Middle, it's really a blessing. We are so thankful.
So, if you would like, I'm sorry, it's just, I just still go back to when I was pregnant and I was thinking about hope. And when you're pregnant, it's all hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I could not imagine the breath of love that is in this room, and that how you advocate and activate other people out in the world, and that hope is Middle to me. So.
Yeah. So your gifts of service and treasure, your engagement, sharing the wondrous you is what makes movement move.
You can go to middlechurch.org/join to become a member, and then be sure to sign up for a new members class online so that we can get to know you better. Electronically, you can use Venmo, or you can go to middlechurch.org/donate
to give online.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the many ways we give and receive.
Thank you for the monetary gifts. Thank you for the gifts of blessings of peace.
We are thankful for the words and comforts in these troubled times, for the actions of activism, and
for this community that sees you and supports you as you truly are. In the many names we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just a second, thank you. So many of us have been gassed up and red-faced by you recently, Jackie, that I'm going to take a minute to do that for you before the benediction. Of course, you're going to get the last word. But friends, hey, I'm smart. Friends, I do not ever want us to take for granted that we are led by this black woman preacher. And not just a preacher of this congregation, but a preacher in the public square. And that sermon that she was preaching today, we don't always see how hard it is to be the church, to be the pastor in the public square where people are always looking for you to say a thing and to say a thing the way they want to hear it. Folks, this is hard. It is hard. And Jackie is doing it. And so in the benediction today, I want you to know that whatever you say, we are praying for you. That's what we're doing when we leave this place. We are praying for you, and we've got you. Amen?
I don't think I should talk after that. No. I do want to say thank you, Amanda, and thank you for this community. My board is so amazing. I'm so grateful to y'all for the space to be myself. And you make me brave. Your love makes me brave on your behalf. So thank you, love. Thank you for saying that. So now to the benediction. We will not buy into the fact that we can't be love for everybody. We're not going to buy into the fact that we can't be love for everybody. Say it when we are not going to buy into the fact that we can't be love for everybody. Say it affirmatively. We can be love for everybody. We will be love. We will be love for everybody. We are love for everybody. We are full-throatedly in support of justice, liberation, freedom, life, thriving, surviving, brilliant life for all the people. All the people. And my hope is built on nothing less than our God who knows how to make it be so. So I want you to hang on. Tethered to a God who will change and keep becoming even more profound, modeling that we can change and keep becoming even more profoundly, fiercely loving, we are not going to compromise our both and love. Period. Love. Period. And everything else is commentary. So, peace. You do you. Do love every day. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.